ambition. Specifically, he thinks the government needs to be more ambitious on their offerings on housing and education. I want to know who you think Labour represent. If you think they do have an issue with being perceived as for the working classes. And if so, what that means.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, police searching for a missing girl in the River Thames in Kent have found a body. Two children got into difficulty in the water in Gravesend yesterday. A boy who was rescued is in a stable condition in hospital. The death is not being treated as suspicious. A woman in her 20s has died after a stabbing in South London. Police were called to Frith Road in Croydon at about 9 a.m. this morning. A man in his 30s was taken to hospital with minor injuries. He's since been arrested on suspicion of murder. The Trade Secretary will meet his US counterpart next week as the government attempts to clarify trade tariffs. It comes as Donald Trump announced he was doubling tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. Previously, the UK struck a deal with Washington for import taxes on steel to be removed, but that hasn't been finalised yet. Two adults and a teenager have died in a car crash on the M5 in South Gloucestershire. Police say the white BMW they were travelling in left the motorway near Michaelwood Services at about 9 o'clock last night. A second child is in hospital with serious injuries. A new breast cancer drug could help patients to live longer. Trials suggest the three-drug combination could delay the need for chemotherapy too. It comes as the government considers lowering the age that women are offered breast screening to 30. Neza Turabi from Cancer Research UK told us that early diagnosis is vital.
We do know that breast screening is a really good way of finding those early stage cancers when they're most easy to treat and where we've got the most likelihood of success. There are all sorts of indicators that help us target screening through age or particularly in breast cancer, whether that's through genetic risk. So it's really promising, but we need to hold out for the longer term trials.
And today is the last day that shops in the UK can legally sell disposable vapes. A ban is coming in tomorrow to try and cut down on plastic waste and help to reduce the number of young people using them. LBC weather. It'll stay dry and warm this evening and overnight. Tomorrow is going to be cloudy with sunny spells, some showers and strong winds, though, in the north. A high tomorrow of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Sinead Carroll.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Natasha Devon.
It is coming up to 3 minutes after six. Very good evening to you. It's Natasha Devon here, and I'm with you until 9 o'clock this evening. 3 hours of what I hope will be really fascinating conversation forthcoming. And the first hour, or the first thing that I want to talk to you about is, what do you think the current incarnation of the Labour Party represents? Who do they stand for? What constituent of people do you think they are most aligned with? 03456060973 is the number to call. The reason I'm asking you that question is because Andy Burnham has called for Labour to re-establish itself unequivocally once again as the party of working class ambition. He also elaborated a little bit on what that means. He said that they need to be more ambitious in terms of their offering on housing and education, should allow mayors to build on public land and set larger, more ambitious targets for social homes. But I'm more interested in what you think he means by ambitious working classes or working class ambition, because it's interesting, isn't it? I've listened to lots of discussions on this station with some of my colleagues, and I know that we have had a couple about class and how definitions of class have changed in 2025. So looking at who is voting for the Labour Party, I mean, you could say something like, oh, a higher number of people than ever before with degrees are voting for the Labour Party. But there's a higher number of people than ever before with degrees. About 50% of young people go to university now. And a high percentage of them will be from working class backgrounds. So the kind of markers that we used to use to denote class don't really mean anything anymore. You know, a plumber can earn 2-3 times more than somebody who is in a so-called white-collar job. So you can't really use wealth. You can't really use further education. And so I wonder whether a lot of the discussions that we've had over the past couple of weeks about, you know, for example, Starmer trying to copy Farage, concerns about the red wall. And I know that Farage made a comment recently where he said, Starmer should come with me to a working men's club up north and let them ask us questions and then we'll see who they prefer or something along those lines. And I thought, but does a man age between 60 and 70 in a working class, in a working men's club up north, represent the entirety of the working classes? If I was Keir Starmer, I would say, well, okay, but then afterwards we'll go and talk to some students who are going to vote for the Green Party and we'll see who they prefer. The demarcations of class are just not as clear as they used to be. And I think that sometimes some slightly old-fashioned ideas about class and who they serve and who they've been elected to serve are kind of holding the political parties back a little bit. And maybe there's this kind of almost imaginary version, slightly patronising version of a working class person that they are trying to appeal to. And I want to know whether you agree with me or whether you think that Andy Burnham is absolutely right, that Labour was perceived as less appealing to working classes under Jeremy Corbyn and they need to definitively reclaim that. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you can that you need. You can text on 84850 or you can send a comment to LBC via your Alexa. Well, we're joined now by Ben Walker, who's a Labour councillor and senior data journalist at the New Statesman and founder of poll aggregator Britain Elects. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Ben. Can you tell us a little bit about what the polling suggests in terms of has the demographic of people who are minded to vote for the Labour Party shifted in recent years?
Oh yes. It's shifted over the past few decades, actually. Here's a statistic for you. Labour's support amongst council housing tenants is way below what it was in 1997 and even 2010 in Gordon Brown's New Labour defeat. You know, right now, or well, in 2024, Labour had the support of around about a third, going on to 40% of council house tenants. In 1997, it was 60 plus percent. In 2010, it was 40 plus percent. Now it's just declining year on year. And at the last election, one fifth of those council house tenants voted Reform. And just bear in mind the polls now, Reform are ahead nationally, leading Labour nationally amongst all voters. I think it's fair to say amongst council house tenants, that Reform lead is much bigger.
So it's not just that fewer people are living in council houses, it's that you can see that they are markedly moving across to Reform.
Yeah, it's of those who are council house tenants, they are less Labour, less single party than I suppose than they've ever been. But just to stay on, you know, who is working class today? Mm. Those who describe themselves as working class, we'll have 70% of Reform voters describe themselves as working class, 56% of Labour voters describe themselves as working class. So in terms of the most self-identifying working class party, it's Reform.
That's really peculiar to me. I actually wrote a piece recently for The Independent about this because I realised that I went to university and there are lots of people out, you know, I live in London. There are lots of people out there who would describe me as metropolitan liberal elite. But if you look at my background and where I've come from, I am more working class than Nigel Farage could ever hope to be in his wildest dreams. He's almost cosplaying as a sort of a myth of what people think a working class person is. So why do you think that is so persuasive?
I almost think it doesn't really matter what you are or what you were. It's more so what you, what vibe you give, what impression you give, what direction of travel. You know, what are your priorities? Here's an example. Rewind back to 2016, the European Union referendum campaign. And you had, you know, Remain campaign is going up north, or not just voting men's clubs, by the way, but going all around saying, if you vote to leave the EU, you won't be able to have all those lovely holidays overseas. And all those people of lower incomes were sat there, what on earth? What on earth are you on about? They can't relate to this. So I think what is working class? It's your priorities. It's what do you prioritize? And I think the priority for working class people and working class politicians is what are they offering? Stability, security, cost of living relief. And what is stability in, you know, towns that have seen dramatic change? That does stray onto immigration, does stray onto identity politics, doesn't it? Those are working class priorities, I suppose, because what working class people need is stability.
So it's not stability in terms of remaining in the European Union and enjoying all of the benefits that that membership brought us. It's stability more in terms of I want less brown people in my town. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's stability. What stability can you feel? How many people felt the benefits of EU membership? Were they able to identify them? No, they weren't. That's why they voted Leave. They wanted to shake things up, so to speak. They said, right, screw the current system. I want something else. That's why they went for Leave. That's why a great portion of them were not bothered, I suppose, by Jeremy Corbyn in 2017, why some of them considered him as an option, and why so many of them now, who considered Labour but not wholeheartedly, are now saying, Labour's doing nothing for me, I want more dramatic change, and that's in the form of Nigel Farage.
Why was Jeremy Corbyn so unpopular amongst what we're defining as the working classes? Because if you look at the manifesto, the 2019 manifesto, there were commitments to more affordable housing. There was stuff in there about everybody having free Wi-Fi. I mean, there was so much in there that would benefit your average person. Yeah. Why didn't that cut through?
Yeah, it's all about presentation. Presentation matters more than anything. If you are not trusted, if you are seen to be competent, all your promises, all your vibes, all your, you know, general agreeable policies, they don't matter. You know, that's why Starmer spent so long trying to so-called detoxify the party. In the process, I think he's lost the party's identity. In terms of how toxic was Labour to working class people under Corbyn, it wasn't. It was to some, particularly amongst the voters. But what did it do? It wasn't as toxic as people think. It turned a lot out in 2017, but it turned a lot of them off by coming out with a position on Brexit. In 2017, just to recast the narrative slightly, 2017 was the election where Brexit didn't matter.
Mm.
And I would have leave Remain voters thinking, actually, I want to vote for policies. And a lot of Leave voters went for Corbyn's Labour because Brexit as an identity issue didn't come up as much as it did in 2019 when the threat of Brexit being reversed became very conceivable.
Ben Walker, thank you so much. Labour councillor and senior data journalist at the New Statesman. So I could have talked to Ben for longer, actually, but his line wasn't great. But there was so much of interest, I'm sure you'll agree, that he said there that Jeremy Corbyn was not perceived as being competent, that there is something to do with vibes here. But the most interesting thing that he said was that in trying to detoxify the Labour Party, Starmer has caused the Labour Party to lose its identity. And I wonder if that's what Andy Burnham is speaking to in this speech when he says we need to once again become the party of working class ambition. Ambition is an interesting word to put on the end as well. So if he said we need to once again become the party of the working classes, that's not a new or original thing to say. Lots of people have said that. But to say working class ambition, what do you think he means by that? So there's, just to recap, there's a few questions that I'm asking you this hour. First of all is, what is your perception of who the Labour Party represent? Who do they stand for? Which demographic within society do you see them as being most aligned with? Do you think it's fair to say that under Jeremy Corbyn, Labour became a kind of middle class pursuit and that that did need to be readdressed. And what do you think Andy Burnham means when he says Labour need to once again become the party of working class ambitions? Because I love what he's saying here, where he's saying we need much, much more genuinely affordable housing, not affordable housing like it's affordable if your parents can give you 50 grand for a deposit, but genuinely affordable for your average person. Absolutely. That should be the number one priority of any government, in my opinion. It's the biggest issue that the country faces, or certainly one of the top five. And then he's talking about education as well. But he does make a weird statement, and I don't have it in front of me, but he does say this strange thing of Labour was the party of the universities at one point. And I hate that. I really hate that because, like I say, 50% of young people go to university now, and lots of them are from working class backgrounds. And there's a kind of reverse snobbery, I think, inherent in that, which I think is just as ugly as snobbery sometimes. So it is important that they get this right. And then the question becomes, how? How would they do that? Are they doing it already? What do you think? Who do the Labour Party represent? 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. You're listening to Natasha Devon and the time is 6:15.
This is LBC.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms and minimum spend apply.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Natasha Devon on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 6:17. Alan has been in touch and said, "Hi, Natasha. When at drama school in 1980, the topic of class came up and students were defining it in all kinds of silly ways, including obviously how much money is involved. The teacher said, no, it's a state of mind leading to an outward attitude. She was absolutely right. Money cannot buy the best things in life, which includes class and style. You're welcome." Well, thank you, Alan, but you haven't defined what that attitude is. And I am kind of uncomfortable with that, only insofar as, by your definition, that means that Farage cosplaying as a working class person, despite the fact that he comes from unimaginable wealth, like wealth that you and I could only imagine in our wildest dreams, and despite the fact that he attended private school and, you know, lots of things that the vast majority of the population do not have access to, he's kind of done this thing where he goes, well, I smoke and I go for a pint in the pub and therefore I am working class. And I just don't think that it's quite as simple as that. And one of the points that I made in the piece that I wrote for The Eye is it's also very patronizing of the working classes to go, well, you know, I have always loved reading, and for as long as I can remember, I've been a feminist. And, you know, my family is, we're all different skin colours, and, you know, we're still working class. All of those things are still working class. And to say that those things don't belong in the working classes misdefines how diverse the working classes are, which is why, which goes back to my original point that defining a working class person just as a man who drinks in a working man's club in the Red Wall in the north of England cuts out a lot of people, I think. But I want to know what you think. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call. Ian has called from Waterloo. What would you like to say?
Hello, Natasha. Good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What can you tell us?
A working class person is somebody who checks their, how much money they've got in their bank account after they've paid their bills.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. That's literally it. Okay. And do you perceive the current Labour Party as being somebody who is working for that person?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm a Labour voter, but I haven't seen anything happen to change. Keir Starmer talked about change, but I haven't seen anything that has changed my life, if you like. Now, I will give you an example. I'm self-employed. I earn about, what, 45 grand a year. Rishi Sunak tried to bribe us all. And my tax bill went down by about £3,000.
Wow.
I haven't seen anything that Labour, me working 55 hours a week, Labour hasn't done anything for me yet. And I'm losing patience with them. Now, I won't be going over to Farage. Certainly not. As James O'Brien has said, you know, people who voted for Brexit, you know, the people who voted for Brexit weren't necessarily racist, but those racists did vote for Brexit. And I won't be going over to him. But I just, I can see why the people and why the British people are just losing faith with them at the moment. I know they've got 4 years to go, but I'm not very happy at the moment with them.
Well, it's all a balancing act, isn't it? So I can completely recognise what you're saying, by the way, Ian, but you have to look at, for example, how long it would take you to get a doctor's appointment. And if you were too sick to work, how much that would cost you and how much that would impact your pay packet. And things like, you know, strikes and the bins being collected and all of that has to be measured against taxes. So I appreciate the simplicity of your definition when you say, well, we're checking our bank balance after all of our bills have gone out to check that there's still some money in our account or how overdrawn we are or whatever, which is something that I identify with and relate to. However, Rishi Sunak giving me a tax cut means less to me than if Rishi Sunak said, and I can guarantee that you can pick up the phone and get a doctor's appointment or the hospital's work or, you know, everybody's being well educated, all of the things that make society function, which there is also a cost to, isn't there?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. But I don't think that myself and I don't think that the general public are feeling that at the moment. I know it's going to take time. I know that, for instance, the prison crisis, we know that the Tories created 500 prison places in 14 years, and look at the population and the amount of crime that escalated and exploded under them. That's going to take time. The NHS is going to take time. I believe in West Reading, certainly. I think, you know, the school's going to take time. Look at RAC and things like that. It's all a matter of time. And I think that people are too impatient nowadays. Possibly I am as well. I'm probably at fault at this. This wasn't going to be overnight, but it's now getting on to a year, you know, in July, and nothing seems to have improved. And I think that the cost of living is going up still, inflation's going up, so I know food inflation dropped a little bit, but nothing's improving. And that is what Farage is really benefiting from.
Yeah.
And he's making false promises and empty promises. And he's capitalising on that. And I think people need to wise up and say, look, no, mate, you're a disingenuous grifter. That's what Coote said. That's what they said. And that's what you are. And you're making money out of it. So please, everybody, just give time for Labour.
I'm writing a book at the moment, and I interviewed this guy who's a political strategist, and he said something similar to what you're saying, Ian. He said, ultimately, elections are won and lost on the economy. And his theory was that Keir Starmer knows that his personal approval ratings are in the toilet right now. And he's cool with that because they're getting all of their least popular policies out of the gate early doors, hoping that that will balance the books. So by the time the general election rolls around in 2028 or 2029, mortgage rates will be down. We'll all feel, you know, inflation will be down. We'll all feel a little bit richer. Hopefully the cost of living crisis will be a distant memory. And I get that. I get that intellectually. But it also does rather rely on this idea that, you know, that there are no disabled people in the working classes, for example, or that you don't care that your nan's lost her winter fuel payment, you know?
I was never a huge opponent of this cutting of the winter tax allowance, because what my issue was that I thought it was too low. The threshold was too low, pension credit. I think there was too many caught in that trap. You know, the people that are playing golf in the morning, having lunch and then playing golf in the afternoon and going on holiday five times a year, and, you know, the old cliche, Elton John and, you know, Sir Alan Sugar, that you know, they shouldn't get it. But I thought that they put that too low, and they were trying to be too harsh, or be harsh to those that the middle class is too early. I have no problem with the middle classes being taxed higher, and certainly I think they should have gone after Amazon, and they should have gone after Starbucks. But you know, they need to make sure that the NHS is, I think, the most important thing in the country, and I think they need to go after social care. And Boris Johnson, much as I hate the fella, he said, I have a plan for social care. I think that Keir Starmer needs to come out and say, we have a plan for social care, and get that sorted. And I think that also the thing that he's got up his sleeve with Farage is that he can turn around further down the line and say, you are all poorer because of him. He wanted Brexit. He pushed Brexit. You're poor because of him. Blame him because of it. And I think that's something that they've got, and they can use that in future. But I haven't been enthused by them in the past year, but I think they're a damn sight better than the Tories.
Ian, thank you for your call. I hope we speak again. While you were speaking, Kevin texted in on 84850 and said, Labour are improving workers' rights. They increase the minimum wage. Two things that Reform UK voted against. Thank you for that text, Kevin, because you have reminded me that all Reform MPs, all five of them, did not show up for the parliamentary vote on the two-child benefit cap. So Farage coming out saying we would abolish the two-child benefit cap, it just like so many people have said so far this hour, they will literally say anything to win people over at this point. And they can do so because Labour are making a bit of a hash of things, most people agree. But they obviously don't care that much about it because none of them could be bothered to show up to vote on that particular issue. New caller, Steve from Plymouth, what would you like to say?
It's an interesting point sometimes about what do Labour stand for. I think the problem I've got with it is that I don't think any of the people in the charge of it are working class. I think ultimately the media has, in some ways, demonised both Corbyn and Miliband and put this narrative out. I don't think either of them are working class, and I'm not sure they completely understand a working class. But it seems to be this kind of like Starmer is acceptable to the media, so therefore suddenly he understands the working class. And I think that's true. I think ultimately Corbyn and Miliband represent a certain part of sort of London interests, but maybe kind of out of London and all that. I think Starmer just represents SW1 kind of corporate interest. I don't think he stands for the ordinary working class. I think people in the party are pushing him say, the unions and whatnot to stand up for working class interests. But I think ultimately, you've gone, the Labour Party's kind of reverted into itself. We put all this stuff out about, say, you know, after we lost in like 2019, we got this plumber in Accrington and whatever. Mm. Which is correct. You need to. They fail to listen to people like that. But the problem is, they've said that, but they've kind of doubled in on kind of, oh, we need more sort of Liz Kendall, we need more kind of, we've got to defer to the Saudis, we've got to defer to, like, the city. It's not a case of actually, well, we're listening to what London's, the outside London's got to say. Not listen to Manchester, Liverpool, Plymouth, Crewe or whatever. It just seems a bit like the narrative has been put that, well, Miliband and Corbyn are not kind of real people, they're kind of political constructs, they don't stand for the workers. But Starmer and Kendall and Reeves and I do, and I just see them as just essentially kind of middle-class SW1 types who were kind of cosplaying as, like, oh, suddenly it's all right because they're kind of acceptable to the media classes. I just don't see how what they've got they're not in contact with, say, like, sort of railway workers or nurses or care workers. They don't come from that background. It's a kind of...
Do you feel that way about Angela Rayner?
I think Angela Rayner is probably not originally, but I do think she's probably got pulled into that kind of world, and I do think she's kind of pulled back from what she was. And I think, to a certain degree, in some ways, all politicians will do that. They'll go to London, they'll kind of have to deal with that kind of world. Even John McDonnell and all that probably are not perfect in that way, but I do think that's a major problem. I mean, obviously, people go, Nigel Farage, and I don't represent the workers. I don't think they do either. I think he pretends to represent the workers, but I just think, kind of, when Mick Lynch was on, you know, calling the strikes, like, he felt like it was kind of like the kind of left or working man's Nigel Farage. He actually kind of spoke for ordinary people. You felt, well, actually, this is a bloke, this electrician, he's got to that position, and he's not lying about what he is. Whereas I do feel a lot of these people are acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
And narratives, but that Labour's come back because they're supposedly, because they appeal to kind of media and London interests. But I do think that in their own way, they're just as flawed as the people they were slating, whether it was Gordon Brown, whether it was...
That's really interesting, Steve.
Corbyn or Miliband, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you've said London so many times, and I wonder if that's essentially what it boils down to. It's this perception that everybody in London is at a party constantly, that the rest of the country is not invited to. And of course, it's not as simple as that, but it's a very powerful perception, and I think one that cuts through a lot of the way that people feel about the various parties. If you want to get involved in this conversation, 03 456 060 973 is the number that you need. But for now, it's 6:30, so it's time for the news headlines with Sinead Carroll.
A woman in her 20s has died after a stabbing in South London. A man's been arrested on suspicion of murder after the attack in Croydon this morning. LBC understands that UK officials are engaging with the US after Donald Trump announced new tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. Tax on the metals will increase from 25 to 50% next week. It's believed that a weapon used to attack an officer in a Worcestershire jail yesterday was brought in from outside. The 25-year-old is in a stable condition after being airlifted for treatment yesterday. Police searching for a missing girl in the River Thames in Kent have found a body. Two children got into difficulty in the water in Gravesend yesterday. A boy who was rescued is in a stable condition. LBC weather, staying dry and warm tonight. Tomorrow's looking cloudy with sunny spells for most, some showers and strong winds in the north, a high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC. At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax. Because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. Realising the whale is actually just a wave? Included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC. Message Natasha Devon on WhatsApp now. 0345 6060973.
It's 6:35 and we're discussing these comments from Andy Burnham, who has called for Labour to re-establish itself unequivocally once again as the party of working class ambition. Now, so far in the hour, we've had lots of people defining what they think working class means and why they do or do not think that the Labour Party are aligned with those values. We've had fewer people ringing to tell us what they think working class ambition means, and the direction that that would take the party were they to take Andy Burnham up on his challenge. 0345 6060973 is the number to call if you have an answer to that question. Ahmed has called from Leeds. What would you like to say?
Oh, hi, Natasha. Firstly, thank you. Pleasure speaking to you. I always tune into your show. It's a great show always.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
I just wanted to make a couple of points. I'll try to stick to my sort of thingy. So I started working in the local authority almost maybe 15 years ago. And my salary at the time, I think, was around 27,000-ish.
Mm.
I was sat in the office not long ago, and I overheard a colleague, new starter, in the same role. This was 2 years ago. Overheard a conversation, and she was talking about her salary being 28.
Mm.
My jaw dropped. I thought, that was mine 15 years ago.
Mm.
And obviously since then, there's been public sector pay increases. My view is things have improved in some way significantly for sort of the working class. I think Labour is still for the working class. I do feel Keir can do a lot more and his team around him can do a lot more. I think what's not working in their favour is what we now can say comfortably is their sort of right-wing media. The agenda they push is way more powerful, way more influential, and it targets the right people in the right way. We know Labour won't stoop that low to do that, but I think things need to change in terms of how they come forward and promote themselves as a party for the working class. Looking at the economy currently, I feel that I'm content. I remember fuel prices 2 years ago were extortionate. Fuel prices are very low currently. No one's making noises about that. Inflation is coming down. It's improved. The economy is stable. We've made a recent deal agreement with the EU. Things are improving. People are talking about it, but not enough people are making noises about it.
Mm.
It's because the other discussion on the other side, coming from the far right about immigration and whatever, it's louder. And as long as that's louder, the Labour are going to struggle to win the hearts of your average working man, working class.
It's interesting, isn't it, the way that issues are divided into, you've got your pot here, which are perceived to be in interest only of people who live in London and went on to further education and are the metropolitan liberal elite and woke and all of that. And then you've got your pot of things that matter to the working classes. And at the moment, the latter pot has only got immigration in it. Unless you are obsessed with immigration, you can't possibly relate to the working classes. But I'm like, well, the working classes also live on the planet. You probably should be concerned about climate change, should be concerned about excrement in our water and housing and you know, all of that other stuff.
There was one thing, Natasha, if I could say.
Yeah.
When I graduated from university, I was quite naive and didn't know very much about politics and stuff. And when I graduated, I went into my first job. We were in the midst of a recession.
Mm.
And I remember George Osborne standing there in the Parliament, is it? And constantly saying that one term, we are in this together. And I just listen to it. I think, yeah, he's right. We're all in this together. We're really struggling. I look back now. I think, how wrong was I?
Yeah.
We weren't in this together, my friend. Recently, there was something in the news about his investment, how much they've turned over in millions. Was it 17 or 70 million? And I thought, no, we're living on different planets.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I'm surrounded by people and colleagues now and people like yourself who I tune into, who have really educated me of the sort of realities of politics and where we sit and where the elite sit. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for people like yourself and your colleagues.
Thank you, Ahmed. That's really kind of you. And thank you for your call. I appreciate it. This text has come in from Greg on 84850, who says, I'm about as working class as it gets. And I came up on free school dinners. My first jobs were packing jobs in the local industrial estate. I'd hope working class ambition would be the ability to achieve what we as... I think you've sent this in via Alexa, so I think Alexa has scrambled your sentences slightly. But to have a family, own your own home and car, and have the money to live a happy life, not constantly walking uphill while the class above you get a lift to the top. Greg, I think you're absolutely spot on, and I talk about that a lot, and I say it a lot less articulately than you. My more clumsy definition is a normal wage should be enough to afford a normal standard of living. And by a normal standard of living, I mean be able to afford your rent or mortgage, run a car if you need to, support your dependents, maybe have one holiday a year and not worry about it. And I don't think it should be outside the realms of possibility that if you have a working class job, whatever that means, that you should be able to afford those things. But I think those lines are becoming really, really blurred, which comes back to my original point, is that are our ideas about working classness out of date? And that is relevant, I think, because of the constant evoking of working class people in political rhetoric. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call if you want to get involved in this conversation that we're having. But I'm very pleased now to be joined by Stella Creasy, the Labour MP for Walthamstow. The reason Stella is joining us today is because the UK Parliament is set to consider decriminalising abortion in England and Wales this summer. Two backbench Labour MPs are drawing up separate proposals to change the law, which would be brought before MPs in the coming months after previous plans ran out of time before the 2024 general election. And this has now become urgent because, well, listen to this.
I am pro-choice, but I think it's ludicrous, utterly ludicrous, that we can allow abortion up to 24 weeks, and yet if a child is born prematurely at 22 weeks, your local hospital will move heaven and earth and probably succeed in that child surviving and going on and living a normal life. So I believe there is an inconsistency in the law. I believe it's totally out of date, but I do believe I wouldn't particularly want anyone around me to agree with that or disagree with that. I'd leave it up to them. I think our current situation on this is irrational.
Stella Creasy, thank you for joining us. What's your response to that clip that we just heard there from Nigel Farage?
Well, I just don't think that Nigel's ever been in the room when you have your 20-week anomaly scan for a baby that you really, really want. And the doctor turns to you and says, I'm sorry, it's bad news. The reality is that 90% of abortions in this country take place before 10 weeks. So those abortions that take place at those later gestations tend to be the most tragic cases of all. The people who've got a fatal fetal abnormality. In layman terms, Natasha, that means they've been told they're going to have a child that will probably die when it is born. And they make a choice to have an abortion. And actually, one of my constituents wrote to me about this. And she said, I had that because I decided to take the pain so that my little boy didn't have to. So when I hear Nigel Farage doing that, I hear two things. One, I hear somebody who probably hasn't done much homework to understand quite why our abortion time limits, because remember, abortion isn't legal in this country, but the time limit under which you can access abortion and not be prosecuted is what it is. But also I hear something more sinister, which is the debate that we've seen in America that we know is now here on our shores, which is about demanding that women justify why they want control of their bodies. Because frankly, it shouldn't be anybody's business. Those 3,000 late abortions that happen every single year on nobody else's business. They're often in an incredibly tragic position. So when Nigel Farage does this, he's not really talking about those families. He's not really spoken to them. What he's doing is sending a bat signal to the Trumpian playbook from America about women's bodies as a part of the cultural wars and the battlefield that they are, and saying it is our right to control what control they might have as to what happens to them, and be damned to the consequences. Because it's a cruel, unusual form of torture to ask somebody to carry to term a baby they know is going to die.
And a lot of people will be surprised to hear you say that abortion is not legal in this country and that there are calls to decriminalise it, because I think the common perception is that it is legal. So can you explain to us why it's not?
Yeah, we need to be very explicit about this. What the law says is that you are exempted from prosecution if you follow certain conditions of access. Now, that might sound like quite technical, but actually what we've seen over the last couple of years is a massive rise in investigations and prosecutions under the old 19th century law that made having an abortion a criminal offence, and indeed helping somebody to have an abortion a criminal offence in of itself. So this isn't a theoretical matter. We've seen very young women who didn't realise they were pregnant having late-term miscarriages, finding not a counsellor at their hospital bed, but a police officer. We've seen women go to court. We've seen some of them being jailed. But we've also seen an increasing call for restrictions on access. So 250,000 abortions take place on average in this country every year. None of them are legal. The women who have them are exempted from prosecution. But the fact that that law remains means that their access to it is always on much shakier foundation than people might realise. So when those people want to attack abortion rights, it's much easier for them to do so than people might realise.
So my understanding is that you now consider it that it's urgent that we decriminalise abortion because America has sneezed and we're about to catch a cold with regard to this issue.
Let me be very clear. Decrim is not enough, but I do think we should repeal that outdated legislation. I do not wish to mess with the time limits. I think the way in which we provide abortion should be a matter of medical, not criminal, regulation. But decrim is not enough to stop the attacks that we are seeing, because it's not just Nigel Farage. People will have heard the American vice president criticize free speech in our country and attack the safe access zones that we have around abortion clinics, the fact that you can't protest outside an abortion clinic. I am somebody, Natasha, will always defend somebody's right to disagree with me on abortion. I will always defend the right to prayer. But you do not have the right to pray in the face of a woman who's made a very private choice to have an abortion and basically attempt to stop her. But J.D. Vance has attacked that. His assistants have attacked it again in the last week as well. Decriminalisation on its own would not protect access to abortion. What I want us to do is learn from what we did in Northern Ireland. So your listeners may not also realise that it's Northern Ireland that has the most progressive abortion legislation in this country. It's Northern Ireland where abortion is actually legal and it is protected as a human right. And because it's protected as a human right, that means that the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commissioner has taken the government to court when people have tried to stop access or restrict access or deny a service. And more importantly, she's won those court cases. So I think it is now time for us to equalise rights in England and Wales that we have. And I don't understand why my constituents in Walthamstow don't have the same rights as a woman in Belfast, not just to not be facing criminal investigations and prosecutions, but to have her access protected as a basic human right, and to have somebody whose job it is to make sure that happens, whoever might be in government, whoever might be in the civil service or in the police, and who doesn't agree with that right.
Stella, we're talking this hour about some comments made by Andy Burnham about the direction of the Labour Party, and him saying that Labour needs to once again become the party of working class ambition. Do you understand what he means by that?
I am resolutely ambitious for everybody in this country, and particularly for the communities like mine in Walthamstow. I always call Walthamstow God's own country. I think everybody should want to live in my community, because I meet brilliantly talented young people in my community who could probably cure cancer or invent a new technology that would save us from climate change. But because of where they live, because of their family background, because of the lack of investment that we've seen in basic public services, their ability to actually realise that ambition and that talent is hampered. And I think we all miss out as a result. So I join the Labour movement. I fight for socialism and social justice because I think we have to get the best out of each of us for the benefit of all of us. And when we don't see that ambition, when we write off kids because of the backgrounds they come from, we write ourselves out of the picture.
Interesting. So you think that it's about reclaiming Labour's socialist route, which presumably is at odds with the direction that the government is going in at the moment?
Listen, I've been in the Labour movement for over 30 years now. I've disagreed with every Labour leadership on something, and I've also campaigned for every Labour leadership because I fight for social justice. So yes, I am absolutely determined that we've got to tackle the fact that for too many people, there's too much month at the end of their money. But it's more than that, isn't it, Natasha? It's the fact that people write people off. It's the fact that there are politicians who want to divide us and say, these are the winners, these are the losers, whether it's on the colour of your skin, your sexuality, whether your gender, or indeed your social class. It's holding us all back. That's my concern about this, is that if we allow a politics that says there should be winners and losers, we miss out on what people are capable of. That isn't what I came into politics for. I will fight for policies that make it more possible for people to be freer. And I include in that abortion rights, because it's freeing women up from not having control over their bodies just as much as I want to make sure that we end poverty, which is why, yes, I want to see an end to the two-child cap.
Stella Creasy, thank you so much. Labour MP for Waltham Stow there, saying some really important stuff, I think, particularly with regards to the abortion issue. It's not something that I want to have to debate with you behind this microphone, to be frank. And if you disagree with abortion, please do feel free not to have one. But don't come for my right. The time is 6:50.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think they, on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy, those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy, but everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry! Deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on.
Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
At Specsavers, we've got hearing devices that can stream music or movies, and ones that are good in crowds. Rechargeable battery ones. Ones that are good at home. Ones that are good in the great outdoors. Ones that connect to phones. Ones that fit in your ear. Ones that fit over your ear. And ones that fit in wherever you happen to be. We've even got ones in our advanced range that use AI to make speech sound clearer. Mm. And they're all available at great Specsavers prices. Book a free hearing check today, because OK Hearing is not OK.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver, and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mum, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Natasha Devon.
It's 6:53, and let's get back to our conversation about Andy Burnham and his comments on working class ambition. What is it, and what does the Labour Party need to do in order to persuade you that they represent it? Delroy has called from Brixton. What would you like to say?
Natasha, how you doing? Good show, lovely. I think Andy Burnham is positioning himself in some respects to be the heir to Starmer. So I think that's, I wouldn't take his too much integrity about Andy Burnham. So he's a nice guy, like him a lot, but I just think that there is a bit of career politician manoeuvrability. And I think what the other thing that Labour's got problem is they've got what I call the Tony Blair effect still going on, with the Tony Blair Institute hovering over the left shoulder of Keir Starmer every day. They should just distance themselves from that whole Blair Brown bigoted woman period. They haven't done that. The fact that we've got a knight who was an ex-barrister, we want something a bit more blue-collar. That's what we need, Natasha.
I mean, what I will say is Andy Burnham isn't currently an MP, so he would need to be re-elected to a constituency first, which is not outside the realms of possibility. And there are lots of people who think he would make a good leader of the party. Yes. But do you think, that when you think of Andy Burnham, do you think of him as being more working class than Starmer, for example?
Very much so. I mean, he's a little bit, you know, he's a smart boy. He's a very smart boy. He knows which side his bread's buttered on. But yeah, terms of, he's more closer to, say, Lee Anderson, who's been doing musical chairs with his politics, than he is to, say, Blair and Starmer, you know, these knights of the realm, you know. There's just a dichotomy between knights of the realm and the Labour movement. It just doesn't gel.
But Lee Anderson is, in my opinion, really, in terms of his rhetoric, his views, the way he expresses them, really quite nasty. And I don't associate working class people as being nasty.
No, but no, you're absolutely right not to. But when I reference him, is because he was doing musical chairs. I think he was originally a Labour MP.
Then he went Conservative. Yeah.
Now he's on to Reform. You know, he'll be on to the next flavor or whatever. He can keep his nose in the trough in the Parliament, funds things, Natasha. So I'm just using him as an example because he sounds more working class than Keir Starmer. Do you know what I mean? That's all. And of course, it's all about optics these days and the sound bites. And Keir's just not pulling it. Whereas Andy Burnham is. I think he's from the Northwest. He sounds working class, whereas Keir does not sound it. So I think in some ways they're going to have to do something about it because people are so peed off with the sort of isolationism of what that New Labour are doing, New Labour, you know, with their progressive politics, which might have been suitable in 1998, Natasha, but in, you know, 25 years on, we've moved on. We've got BRICS, we've got Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. We've got that whole economic hub coming through. We've got the MAGA movement. The world has moved on since Tony Blair and the TPI Institute. You know, we've got to be more progressive than the progressives now, otherwise we're going to get stuck. You know,
how much of this do you think is people's fault? Because I'm thinking about if I was, for example, running to be an MP or to be Prime Minister, which will never happen, Delroy, just to reassure you. But I'm just imagining a universe where that is true. I know that I would be accused of being out of touch, metropolitan liberal elite, even though I grew up in a low income household. I'm very much from working class roots, and I care about working class people, and I want working class people to have the best possible standard of living. And yet, just because of the way that I speak and the way that I look, I think that I would be immediately dismissed by a lot of people.
You would be, only because it's 2025 and we live in this media, you know, the social media world. 30 years ago, you know, look at people like Kate Hoey and Mo Molan. They didn't sound particularly, but they were brilliant Labour MPs. They were great at what they did. You know, Barbara Castle, before, she didn't sound like a picture woman, did she, Barbara Castle? She was good at what she did. So there are plenty of examples of well-spoken Labour. And I think it's about your integrity. I wouldn't worry too much about your act. I think wanted to do it, you could do it, and I think credibility too. But I think the point is, now we're in this social media age where sound bites rule. It is very adversarial, black and white, either they demonize it, and you know, and I don't think that Angela Rayner calling Tory scum, you know, it might well be true, but it didn't do her any good in the long term, because it just made her sound like she was just a judgmental, like you can never, you know, no redemption for you. You know, it's like Christ on the cross with the thief next to you will not be in heaven because you're a Tory scum. You know what I mean? You're that's it.
Yes, there is an element of that, I think, of understanding that there's a broad church of ideas within any demographic. Delroy, thank you so much for your call. Anne has called from Norwich. What would you like to say?
Hello. Yes, with regards to working class, I grew up as working class, and I would now probably fit into the middle class, white collar. But I grew up on a council estate. Most people in my area aspired to get out of the council estate, and I think this is what the ambition's about.
Okay.
Today's, so, you know, 40 years ago, I'm 60, so 45 years ago, you had social housing, you had families that needed social security support, you also needed local authority support, the services that they provided. I think that's what defined you as working class. So you may have been a working family or not, But I think that was the definition of working class. We've lost social housing to a phenomenal degree because properties weren't reinvested in when they were sold. We've lost, so lots of people are now privately renting and choosing where they live, where they didn't have those choices. So that ambition has been taken away from the working class in many ways. So I think the work, the ambition that Andy's talking about is very much about aspiring to move away from social housing or dependency on the state to be able to get a job where you can become self-sufficient and have choices.
That makes so much sense. And thank you very much. I'm really glad that we finished on your call because I think that's a very good definition. And I wish that Andy Burnham had elaborated in the way that you did. Now, in the final hour of the show, we're going to talk about ghosting, believe it or not. This is a phenomenon whereby a romantic interest or friend cuts you off and refuses to answer messages. Has it happened to you? And what impact did it have on you? But first, the daughter of Gisele Pellico has said that the horrific abuse her mother endured would never have happened were it not for the normalization of online pornography. I'm currently reading Laura Bates's new book in which she talks about deepfake pornography and how this is the new frontier in misogynistic abuse. But I want to know, can the law ever prevent the harm inflicted by emerging and existing technologies?
On your radio, on the